Good morning. I love hearing Savannah over there sick. She hit that head. That's right, baby. I need your prayers. I did something this morning I haven't done in a long, years. I woke up in a bad mood. I don't know why. I don't know if it's something I had a dream of. I just woke up in a bad mood, and I'm still there. I don't know why. I'm not feeling well. It's not like a cold feeling well, but just, you know, sometimes you feel blah. Well, I'm blah this morning. I told my wife at Norbin, I said, I'll pray for me. So y'all pray for me. We're going to say a prayer, but please pray for me because this is unknown territory for me. So let us bow. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much. We ask if you would please be with us, Lord. Continue to watch over us, Lord. Just be with us, Lord. We are humans, your powerful beings. But on the other hand, we're humans, your weak and disobedient beings. Lord, we are needing you every second of this day. We ask you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. We ask you for direction. We ask you for honesty. We ask you for upfront faces. Lord, please do not allow airport to just be religious. Lord, bless us to be real. Bless us to be able to be open with our feelings, to be honest with what's going on in our lives, to one another. Allow people, when they come here, they feel that honesty, that love, that assurance, that confidence, that no matter what we go through, you are bigger than whatever we're going through. So forgive us of sins. We thank you, Lord, and I ask a special prayer that you bless my Uncle Hoover. Had a stroke. We ask you to be with him, Lord, in his recovery and the family. Be with all those who are going through things, sickness, and just this part of the year. Please be with us, guide and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. Larry, you know what? When I was saying that prayer, a little bit of it came off. It came off. So y'all must have been praying for me. I think you're going, mwah. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, two verses. We're really going to deal with one. We're going to look at three parts of this one scripture. We're going to first of all look at confidence in approaching God. Secondly, we will look at asking his will. And thirdly, we will look at he hears us. It's something that I like to just tell people and make sure that people know. And I say this, and I made some people uncomfortable because they let me know I made them uncomfortable. But I say that I know I'm going to heaven. And some people are like, well, I don't know if I can say that, Brother Nundy. I said, well, I can. I can say that with confidence. And it has nothing to do with my confidence in me. It has something to do with the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says, all the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. They're yes. So Jesus told me about if I obey him, I'm going to heaven. That's not a guessing thing. It's not something that he said, you know, like there's no scripture to say he that believeth and is baptized might be saved. That's not in scripture. There's no scripture to say that that we might make it, or God is 99% sure. God is 100% sure that if you obey him, you will make it. Now, here's the problem I have. It's not with what God promised, it's what I will deliver. That's my problem. Now, I do know if I follow God, I'll go to heaven. I have no problem. There's no doubt in that. Will I follow God? That's the problem. So when we look at the confidence part, he says, if you could read 1 John 5, verse 14.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God.
Now, hold up. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Now, who is God? God is king. Now, they were more familiar with this because they dealt more with kings. They didn't deal with presidents and vice presidents like we do. They dealt with royalty for us kings, and they were more familiar with this. So kings You couldn't approach a king and just walk up to a king. You know, you could approach a lot of people, just walk up to them, say, hey, Norman, how you doing? Walk up to them, hug them, and do all this. You could do all this stuff. But you cannot just approach a king and walk up to him. Not even the queen could just walk in on the king. There's things that she had to go through. So here is King Jesus. And we have access. I had my daughter read this to me this morning on the way to church. And I said, do you understand what that means? She said, no. I said, well, you know, back then, a king, you couldn't approach a king. You had to have a privilege to do that. I said, you look at the president of the United States, big person. Can you just call him to decide I want to speak to him? No, you can't. You know, you can't do that. I said, but look at God. He's bigger than the president, and you can approach him any day, anyway, you know, for the purposes that you need. So a king on this earth, you will not have access to this king or queen. You will not have access to them. But God, you have access to. And not only do you have access, he said we could come to him with confidence. And when I said that, you know, my youngest one, she said, you know, she listened for a second. She said, you know what, that's cool. I said, what's that? She said that we could go to God anytime and to talk to him about anything. I said, you're a preacher's daughter. It was good to know that I can talk to God anytime. That's good to know. And in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the Bible said, let us approach the throne of God in full assurance. Now, you got to think about this. When he said, let us approach the throne of God in full assurance, we got to realize who the throne belongs to. It belongs to God. Who is God? He is creator. Now, thinking about God's existence, it's kind of like the way I think about eternity. When I think about eternity, after a while, I'll just stop thinking. Because, you know, you're just kind of like, well, you just kind of run out of thought. You don't even know where to go. When you think about God, he's God. Describe him. You can't. You know, it's so much more. And you could come to him. You. I'm not talking about presidents and kings and queens only. I'm talking about peasants. I'm talking about me. Little old me, I could come to this greatness. Now, I cannot come to the president. I cannot walk up to the Secretary of State. I just can't walk up to them. But the Creator, I can walk up to him in full assurance. And I want us to understand something. We need to remember that confidence. Now, how do we have that confidence? God has given us the awareness. If you could read 1 John 5, read 13.
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God.
Now listen to him. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God.
So that you may know.
That you may know.
That you have eternal life.
That you have eternal life. Now here's the thing. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 5, he says, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I can know that I am serving God. I can have confidence. I know how to read. I know how to read. Right? I know how to read. I know how to read, pretty much. So I can follow instructions. And the Bible tells me, if I follow in the footsteps of Jesus, teaches, if I follow after Jesus, then I'll walk myself right on into God's arms. So I could do that. I have confidence of that. I don't like for Christians to have this mentality that I go to church and I do all these things to hoping I'll get to heaven. You know, that's not a biblical idea. Now, I understand that I don't know the future. I understand I am, as a human, flawed. But God said, it is not in you to direct your own path. That's why I'm going to take over. You see? And God said he's not willing that any man perish. Christians have to come to that confidence and stop trying to live life like you're trying to please God to go to heaven. You live life to please God because you are going. And if I have to drill that into the day I'm dead, I will do it. Because I've seen too many children of God trying to serve God to get something from him that he's already granted. And I've seen Christians do this. When they sin, when they fall, they run back to church because they think they lost something. Christianity is not an in God out, in God out, in God. No, that's not how Christianity works. When I'm in sin, if I'm in a place that I shouldn't be, and I'm doing something I shouldn't do, guess who's down there with me? Christians don't like to hear that. I've heard songs, you can't take God to this, and can't take God here. You better. I'm gonna tell you something. I didn't always act like a Christian. You know, I've been places I shouldn't have gone, and I've done things I shouldn't have done. And I could have been dead. There's times I could have been shot dead. But it was the will of God that kept my mouth shut. It was the mercies of God that kept you from bumping into the wrong person at the club. Y'all, you know, we said, no, that's true. What did Jesus say? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And no, I'm not trying to say, okay, I'm going to the club. Come on, Lord. No, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying God is faithful regardless of our faithfulness. And you better be thankful. You better be glad that God doesn't treat you like you treat him. That's why I'm talking about the confidence. It's not something that you can abuse. God said, be not deceived. I cannot be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't fake God out. Okay, God. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God knows your heart. But my point is, you have so many Christians thinking that they're in Christ, out of Christ. In Christ, out of Christ. That's not the format of Christianity. I have four daughters. I don't care how bad they get, they still my daughters. And I'm just a regular old daddy. You see what I'm saying? So Christian, stop living like this. Okay, God, I messed up. Okay, I'm happy. I'm doing something good. Because a lot of times when you think you did good, you really weren't all that good. I remember one Sunday I came, I had a mentor was coaching me as I preached, and I went to him that Sunday, that I would always go that Monday morning. And when I went to him, he said, so how'd the sermon go? I said, I didn't go that well, and I talked about how I delivered the sermon. He listened to me. He said, Larry, you know, sometimes you think when you really tore it up, that's when you messed it up. He said, because you got in God's way. Sometimes when it's just a basic, plain word of God, he said, that's when it illuminates. So sometimes when you think you've done something good, and some Christians live that way. Oh, I did good. I didn't do this. I didn't do this, so I must be a good Christian. No, I have confidence that God is my God in all these circumstances, and he will never abandon me, although I have tried to abandon him. I believe that. So he says, one, in the confidence of God, be thankful that you are not treated by God the way you treat him. There's the confidence we have. The second thing is in the, what's the second? Read this.
That if we ask anything according to his will.
According to his will. Now, I have a confidence in God that he is God and he loves me. He will never leave me. I do not believe once saved, always saved. I do not believe that. I said that plenty of times. I do not believe that. But I do believe God has made it almost impossible for a Christian to lose his salvation. I believe God made it almost impossible. You got to kick, fight, and scream and say, no, Lord, I don't want to go to heaven. And he's still sitting there going, you sure? You know. So I believe that confidence. And then he said, if we ask anything according to his will. See, that's the kicker right there. According to his will. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, what did he say? Not my will, but your will. You see, God's will is the thing that we reach for. In the prayer, when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he said, say, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the will of God is key. Believe me, sometimes the will of God goes against your will. And let me assure you of this. If somehow you could have teleported back to the Garden of Gethsemane that night when Jesus prayed, and you could have been a fly on a wall kind of thing, and you heard that prayer, just you, Jesus, and God, and God allotted you to be there to hear Jesus say, Lord, not my will. When first he said, let this cup pass. Remember he said, let this cup pass? Then he says, not my will, but your will. You know what you would have said? Lord, please let your will be done. Lord, don't let him have his way. Lord, let your will be done. God's will is the ultimate. It's the ultimate passion. God's will. And I believe that God is constantly trying to shape us into the person of Christ. He's trying to mold us to be Christ-like. That's what basically what Christian means, Christ-like. He's trying to mold our minds. If you are a selfish person, God wants to take you and mold your mind into being selfish for Christ. If you are a person that's full of passion, he wants to mold your heart to make you a person full of passion for Christ. If you are a person who is angry, he wants you angry against sin for Christ. He wants to take everything you are and to take it toward God. So, his will be done in you. He's trying to shape you into the person of Christ so that we're all walking epistles, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. We are open epistles to be read to man. So people do not see Jesus Christ, but they see a picture of him. Jesus even said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We should say, when you've seen me, you've seen Jesus Christ. How? By the way we live. Because that is a picture of Christ and the life of a Christian. So when my body, my mind, my everything is being shaped through the form of Christ, everything I will, even against my own personal will, I push toward the will of God. You know, sometimes, man, I have to battle myself. But I have desires that I won't feel. But I have to battle against those desires so that God's will could be set forth in my life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, we have things that we want to do. We have ways we want to go. But God's will be done in our life. So the confidence we have in Jesus Christ approaching the throne, we have a confidence in a king who is loving, who is all-powerful, and he loves us, so we are able to approach his throne humbly. And then we could approach his throne with his will in mind. God, not my will, your will be done. And the last part is,
he hears us.
He hears us. You know what? That's a good feeling. God hears me. God knows what I'm going through. Man, I remember several times. When I was a kid, I used to get in trouble all the time. It wasn't because I was bad. It's because I was just busy. I was always just ends up. I broke stuff. I got a whipping every summer for breaking our window and our door. I was just so busy. I would throw something, a rock, a ball or something, and it my back could be to the window. I could throw in the rock, I could so right around and come back on my shoulder and break the window. I was just all in trouble all the time. And it's at times where, you know, daddy was scolding me, and I would look at him like, daddy, I'm trying. You know what I mean? You ever been there? I'm trying. I know I'm messing up. I know it looks this way, but I'm trying. Man, who's been in that place? I want you to know, it looks this way, but I am trying. I am trying. To know that, this one, I was on her the other day, one of my daughters, and she was struggling with some stuff. And I know she's trying. She said, Daddy, I'm trying. And I heard her. You see what I'm saying? I heard her. And when she went through that, it's like, man, I feel her. And to know that here I am, you may see something and you would judge me from your perspective. You'll look at me and you go, but God hears me. Met some people who would look weird to the world. You can do some things that just doesn't make sense. You can look a certain way and people think you are just out of place. But God hears you. God sees you. He hears you. He knows. Man, it's good to be heard. Oh, it's good to be heard. To know that God, I hear you. And I don't think he mean to hear you like, oh, I heard you. I think he hear you like, I hear you. We say that. You know, whenever somebody say something, you go, bruh, I hear you. I hear you, dog. You know, man, I understand what you're saying. You didn't have to say it. You ever talk to somebody and you start saying something and you kind of you can't get it? They go, I got you. I understand. Whew. God says, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, I know it looks bad. And I know you look at my word and what you're doing is contradicting against my word. And you're trying. I know you want to put the drug down. I know you want to stop doing the cocaine. I know you want to stop doing the drugs. I know you do. And it, you keep breaking, you're sinning. But I hear you. I know you keep going through relationship after relationship after, and you keep messing up. And I know sometimes you do it just in rebellion. But I hear you. Boy, you better be glad God is the way he is. Now, that's what I'm saying in the confidence. Stop trying to live Christian lives because you're trying to get something from God that he got. He hears you. That's why you love him, because he hears me. How can I just disregard him now? He hears me. He's a good God. Oh, he wants you because he hears you. Man, you're sitting here today and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to be here and I don't, this, that, and the other. And you think, man, I've been, I said it out loud because them Christians, they may, and my brothers and sisters, and they may judge me and just, I hear you. I hear you. I sinned and I can't tell anybody about it. God, you know, but Lord, I hear you. I'm not justifying it, but I made you. I know your capabilities. I'm going to tell you another secret. I knew you was going to sin this sin before you did it. And you're going to do it 17 more times today. But I hear you. I'm not giving you a leeway out. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbids. But I hear you. Thank you, Lord. He hears us. Now let's turn it around and hear him. He died on the cross for us. He came down on this earth. He left heaven. He came down here and he put on a dirt suit called human. And he walked around us. He listened to us. He even saw ones that he knew. He knew was going to, he knew Judas at some time. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He even told Peter before, he said, Peter, I know in John 13 chapter, you're going to deny me. But I hear you. He died on the cross because he heard us. He heard the cry of help. He died on the cross. They buried him, but he got up. When he got up, he says, listen to me. I love you, and I'll never stop, and I'll never leave you. So if you got a better place to go, by all means, go. But if you don't have another place, let me invite you to the arms that will never reject if you come. It's called the arms of love. He wants us. He's calling us. There's a song we sang, and it comes from Luke, the 15th chapter. It says, God is calling the prodigal. Come without delay. Whew, I'm so glad that God loves the prodigal. If you are the prodigal, God is calling you. So I'm saying, come without delay. But if you are one of those sheep that are lost, who don't even know they're lost, we want to present the gospel to you, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you receive that message, do you believe it? If you believe it, then the Bible says to repent. That means turn to God. Confess that he is the Son of God and be baptized to have your sins washed away that you may be filled with his spirit and added to his family, the church. If you haven't done that, we're asking you to come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.